All right, Acts chapter 16, it is good to be here. I do want to thank you again on behalf of the Esposito family. We appreciate your prayers and your concern. And again, as Brother Myers said, I just sort of want to expound on it a little bit, continue to give them space. Many of you have been through something like this. You know how emotionally draining it is for the family. And with a church this size, you have 40 or 50 people ask you, give me an update, give me an update, give me an update. It really wears on you. So get the updates from Brother Myers. Send him text messages at 3 a.m. and that type of thing. Amen? And but we do appreciate your prayers and your concern, and we thank God for you. It is a blessing to have a church family during a time like this. We've all said it from the pulpit many, many times in the past. You wonder sometimes, what do you do without a church family in a time like this? So we do thank God for you. And we just are going to continue to pray for Pastor. It's exciting. I saw a prayer list out there and people fasting and that type of thing. And we thank God for that. Acts chapter 16, tonight is business meeting time. And in about 30 minutes, we're going to have a business meeting, and Brother Myers will moderate the business meeting, and it will be the most important business meeting of the year for Pacific Baptist Church. It will also be the most important business meeting for the thousands and the hundreds and thousands and, yay, possibly even millions of people around the world who need to know. What a beautiful song, girls. Thank you. By the way, we could have had the invitation right there and went home early. Somebody say amen. Acts chapter 16, this morning we gave part one, and we're going to continue. If I were to give the message a title, I would say, don't let the dream die. Don't let the dream die. And so Acts chapter 16, if you have your Bibles, turn there. Let's all stand if you're able to. Thank you for being here this evening. What a great crowd. It is good to be back home. The home church, and it's good to see old faces, not old people, amen. It's good to see folks have been around here for a long time, and you've been faithful. It was a blessing to be in the Sunday school class with the Khmer people, the most precious people in this church. We thank God for them, and they just, they are the beginning of this church, and we thank God for them. It's good to see many of you, and thank you. I mentioned this to the pastoral staff on the day that Pastor was hospitalized that morning in the wee hours of the morning. Thank you for standing with my brother and just the mission here, the work here. Now, many people say, well, what do we do now? Well, let me give you a couple things, not the message. Number one, just keep reading your Bible. Somebody say amen. Just read your Bible. Can't lose with that. Just keep praying. Keep praying. 9:30 Sunday morning, just be in your Sunday school class. 10:30, be here in the service. And or if you're Monterey Park, Maywood, or whatever time they start, and we, by the way, it was a blessing to be there. Just be there, then be here at 5 o'clock on Sunday night, and Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, be here, get some donuts, and go soul winning, amen. You say, what do we do now? You just keep doing what you've been doing. You just keep doing it. If Pastor were here tonight behind the pulpit, he would just say, let's keep on going on. Just keep going. The world doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. And so we just got to keep going. And while we're going, we're praying. While we're going, we're fasting. While we're going, we're weeping. While we're going, we're mourning. But we keep going. We go forward. And so I just want to challenge you. If I kept asking people for a bulletin, I was going to go through the bulletin. What are we doing? We're having friend day. What are we doing? Whatever the bulletin, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And that's what Pastor would want for you to do. And that's what Jesus wants you to do. That's what he wants you to do. Just keep going forward. If you're in the choir, just keep singing. If you're Brother Carrillo, find another church. But anyway, I cannot believe you guys let, you know, I cannot believe you guys let him back in this church. God. That is what you call apostasy, okay? Anyway, at least he's not wearing a gas mask today, amen? Remember those days, the gas mask and the little canary and everything? Anyway, wow. Anyway, but it is good to be back. My wife sends her greetings. Our team from Laos send their greetings. And we're thankful to be back. We're looking forward to going back home. That's home for us. And Lord willing, our hearts will be buried on the mission field and letting them know So many who just desperately need to know. Acts chapter 16, verse number 5, the Bible says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia," this is talking about Paul and his team, "and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." We talked about this just a little bit this morning. Sometimes God shuts doors, but when God shuts doors, you just look around. There's going to be an open door right around the corner. And God's shutting a door. Paul's desire is to go east, but God is shutting a door. Verse number 7, "After they come to Mysia, they essayed or endeavored or determined to go into Bithynia, which also was east, but the Spirit suffered them or allowed them not." So God closes another door. By the way, God is in the business of closing doors. A lot of times our sincere intentions, they're sincere. They're spiritual intentions, but sometimes it's not God's intention. So God just shuts the door. And may I just say this? I think I mentioned it this morning here in Long Beach. As Americans, we like kicking doors down. Somebody say amen. But you don't want to kick a door down that God shuts. Amen? By the way, that's why it's important to walk with God. Amen? Don't kick a door down that God has shut. And so the doors have been shut here. Verse number 8, "And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision." Can I get to say vision? Vision? "Where there's no vision, the people perish." We need a vision. That's what Missions Conference Revival is all about. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and I mentioned it this morning either here or in Maywood. Sometimes it's in the nighttime where we get the vision, the nighttime. Right now, Pacific Baptist Church, you're going through a little nighttime experience. But praise God, there's light on the end of the tunnel. Amen? But sometimes that's where the vision comes. The greatest lessons I've ever learned in life have been in the valley. They've not been in the mountain. I like the mountaintop. Somebody say amen. By the way, Eric Perez likes the mountaintop. He's a shouter. Somebody say amen. I was getting ready to call the police on him. I was getting a little nervous over there. Him and Kareel too close together, that's not good. They'll kick the door down. But, on the mountaintop, we shout, we celebrate, we thank God, and thank God for the mountaintops. But I'm going to be honest with you. The mountaintops, you don't learn a whole lot on the mountaintop. It's in the valley. And we don't have time to talk about it, but I could look back on my 36 years, 35 years. I got saved when I was 1 year old. But anyway, 36 years as a Christian. I'm just joking. But anyway, 36 years being saved. As I look back, it was the valleys where I grew in the Lord. But there's a vision, and Paul sees this vision. It says, "There stood a man of Macedonia," that would be what we would refer to as Greece today, "and prayed," or asked him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, can I get you to say immediately? No debating, no dialogue, no arguing. By the way, I sort of argued and debated with God for a long time about this matter of missions. I sort of struggled with God. Just, I was my age, and I don't want to learn another language, and, I've got influence here, and, I get Bible college, blah, 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 blah. God, delayed obedience is disobedience. Hello? It says, and after he had seen the vision immediately, now notice this, the he becomes a we. And after he, Paul, had seen the vision immediately, we, now this is Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, and the team, and I don't remember if I mentioned here or Maywood this morning, but if the job's going to get done, it's going to take a we. In about 25 minutes, the we are going to have a business meeting. It doesn't matter if he has a vision, if the we aren't there to rally around the vision, the job's not going to get done. Somebody say amen. Yes, and he had seen the vision. Immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Father, help us this evening to take just a few moments to share a few thoughts and on this matter of the vision and just a little bit of review tonight, and then we'll just get into the main thought. And then, Lord, business meeting time tonight. Tonight, many of us have just sort of dropped our missions giving, and tonight we just need to get that thing right. Many of us have never given to missions, and tonight many will give. And tonight there's going to be a lot of decisions that will be made. I pray, Father, that you'd bless during the business meeting. I pray that you'd bless during the preaching time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just real quickly here. Many years ago, this is review, but some of you were not here. Many years ago, Pastor and I were in Bible college together, and I'm going to talk very fast the review part. Pastor and I were in Bible college together, and Pastor began to get a vision, a burden for the Cambodian people. He started a bus route. He started reaching the Cambodian people. He started the Oriental Ministry at First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. They did not have one until my brother, Pastor Joe, I wasn't a pastor at the time, he started it, and he was hauling the Cambodian kids. He fell in love with the Cambodian people. And as I mentioned this morning, he was learning the language. And I remember he lived with us at the time with my wife and I, and he lived in the basement. We always put the younger brother in the basement. Somebody say amen. And we put him in the basement. We kept that thing locked too, by the way. But anyway, and I can hear the language. I was thinking, man, that's a hard language. And now I'm suffering. I'm trying to learn Lao at 50-something years old. But he wanted to go to the mission field, and he had talked about going to the mission field. That was his desire. It was a closed country. At the time, it was run by the communists at that time, no longer is, but so he didn't think he'd go. And, well, what a coincidence. Come to find out, the city of Long Beach, the city that we grew up in, the more Cambodians lived here than anywhere else in the world outside of Cambodia and Thailand. What a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. Somebody say amen. So my brother came and he started Cambodian Baptist Church. Many of you were part of that initial church plan in the original days. Brother Myers was here from day one. And you were a part of that, and you remember the early days. And man, we could tell a lot of stories, and we would laugh all night, but we don't have time. And many hundreds and thousands of Cambodians came. And at that time, the vision was basically 40,000 Cambodians in the city of Long Beach. Well, years go by, and the vision begins to expand, and many things go on between here and there. But then eventually, Dave Board goes to Cambodia as a missionary, and he starts missions over there, and if it comes back here, he feels convinced that, man, we need to get a team over there. One guy's not going to do it. By the way, the he has to become a we. And so he comes back here. Him and Pastor begin the dialogue, and they're talking a lot of things behind closed doors. And all of a sudden, one day in the church service, many of you were here, they announced Team Cambodia, and everybody got excited, and everybody was signing up. By the way, a lot of times people get excited. I'm wondering where they are. Amen. But anyway, people get excited, fired up about Team Cambodia. And Dave Board and the team, they're doing a tremendous job there. And then all of a sudden, then Jay Chang, I used to be a principal of Hammond City Baptist many, many years ago. Jay Chang was one of my students. I gave him many swats, by the way. But anyway, Jay Chang all of a sudden shows up on the scene. And Jay Chang's my hero because he's smaller than me. Amen. But Jay Chang is a Hmong guy. He's a preacher. He's a firecracker. And Jay Chang comes on the scene. He wants to go to Thailand, and he wants to reach the Hmong people. And Pastor, behind closed doors, that's how my brother works, behind closed doors, a deal was struck up. And all of a sudden, Team Cambodia became Team Southeast Asia. Now we had two teams in or going to Southeast Asia. And then all of a sudden, Kum Lee Tong, you know Kum Lee, he's just one of us, and I work with him now, pray for me. But Lord help us. But anyway, we could tell a lot of Kum Lee stories. But anyway, at Kum Lee Tong, who was saved here as a teenager playing basketball, we had a basketball league, got saved here. And he's Lao. By the way, he doesn't speak English, and he doesn't speak Lao. I have no idea what he speaks. When he translates for me, I just have to stop it. I say, stop it. I will speak to them. Okay, but anyway. But Kum Lee was on deputation. He's going to go to Cambodia. His wife is Cambodian, and she ran the house anyway. But anyway, they're going to go to Cambodia. I didn't mean to say that. But anyway, they're going to go to Cambodia, and 10 days, and this is how my brother works. By the way, people think I'm ADD. My brother is far more ADD than me. Somebody say amen. He just shows it a little different. But 10 days before Kum Lee leaves for Cambodia, he gets a phone call from my brother. He's already got the tickets. He's on his way to Cambodia. Dave Board's looking for an apartment, and he gets a phone call from my brother. My brother says, hey, man, I want you to consider going to Laos. Laos? You got to be kidding me. It's a communist country. I might go to prison. That's why we're sending you there. But anyway, and so Kum Lee Kumle said, my brother said, Pastor, what will Dave Borg say? He said, let me handle that. That's my brother too right there, amen? And let me handle that. And Dave Borg is still bitter about it. But anyway, and so Kumle ends up going to Laos. So now we have a team in Laos. Then somewhere right around that time, and I don't have the timeline before me, but somewhere around that time, we started a church in Monterey Park. And when we originally started a church in Monterey Park, the thought was, well, you know, we'll reach a lot of Spanish, English-speaking Spanish. You know, there's a lot of them in California, especially in that East LA area. And we're going to, you know, put out a carne asada stand, and we'll get it going. Somebody say amen. And by the way, if you put it out, I'll be there. If you feed me, I will come. But anyway, and so but all of a sudden, we start reaching some Chinese people. You know, accidents happen. Coincidences. So my brother, you know, ADD, and he espresso lights or something. You know, my brother, all of a sudden he starts getting burdened about this thing about China. And so what started with a bus route in Chicago, right, went to the city of Long Beach, 40,000 Cambodians, then became Team Southeast Asia, and then all of a sudden China. Of course, we mentioned this morning just before he went to the hospital, some of the last words he said were China or bust. You know, my brother's sort of a visionary. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you. I just got tired talking about it. May I say this? Don't let the dream die. Now, I mentioned this in Maywood. I don't remember if I mentioned it. I think I mentioned it here, too. There's a lot of things that we preachers throw on you that it's our stuff. It's our stuff. But this is something that you could go into the black and white of the scripture. This is God's thing. This is the Great Commission. You could go to Revelation 5:9, Revelation 7:9, all the five Great Commission passages. You could go to those. This is a God thing. This is a God thing. Okay? Don't let the vision die. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future, and we do know that his heart is for the harvest. And in about 10, 12 minutes or so, there's going to be a business meeting. And the business meeting is all about the vision. In your Bible, it talks about a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come help us. You could take your Bible, you could circle Macedonia, and you could draw a little arrow, and you could put Cambodia. Come help us. Cambodia is a country of about 16, 17 million people. 98% of them are Buddhist. Can you see the man saying, come help us? Come help us. Country of Thailand, I believe it's 65 million people in the country of Thailand. Thailand is another country, about 98% of the country. By the way, a very, very tough country if you're trying to reach the Buddhists. The Buddhists are a lot more difficult to reach than the Hmong animists and that type of thing. But the very strong Buddhist country, 98% of them are Buddhists. Come help us. Come help us. You could go right across the border. I live right across the border from Thailand. I live on the Mekong River. I could literally swim if I wasn't so old. Somebody say amen. I could literally swim across into Thailand. Not legally, but I could go into Thailand. And in the country of Laos, 7 million people, a communist country, 99% of them are either animist or Buddhist. And they're saying, come help us. In the city which I reside, Vientiane, Laos, the capital city, 750,000 people, 300 Buddhist temples. They're all over the place. You can't walk down the street without seeing the Buddhist altars, the little altars all over the place. Every house you go to, altars. 99% of the people are lost without Christ. We've been told that probably 75% of the city of Vientiane, Laos has never heard the name of Jesus one time. Not once. Like I said last Sunday night, we're not talking about, well, there's no independent. We're talking about none. No churches, no Methodist, no Lutheran, no nothing. And so tonight, just like Pastor got a vision in the early days of Cambodians on a bus route in a small section of North Chicago. And that thing expanded to Cambodians, 40,000 here in the city of Long Beach. Then that expanded to this country of Cambodia. And then it went to Thailand, to Laos. And then all of a sudden, 1.3 billion people, four times the size of the United States of America. In China, can you see the Chinese man standing, looking towards America, saying, come help us? Come help us. Come help us. And may I say this, the heart of God goes even beyond that. The heart of God goes to the Middle East, the 589 million Muslims with 14 independent Baptist missionaries. One independent Baptist missionary for every 39 million Muslims. Can you see the Muslims saying, come help us? You could go to North Africa. You could go to South Africa. You could go all over the world, but especially in the 1040 window. You see, where there's no vision, the people perish. I've said this for years. Missions conference ends tonight. In about 8 minutes, we're going to have a business meeting. Tomorrow morning, they'll start taking down the flags. They'll take down all the quotes. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to do what we do every year. We're going to forget. But the man will still be crying. Come help us. Come help us. I mentioned this morning is our silver anniversary, 25th anniversary. 25 years ago, Pastor started this church. I just checked online. I don't know a whole lot, but I know it's 25th anniversary. It's a silver anniversary. And so I just checked online. It says, traditionally, silver represents the celebration of the 25th anniversary and is related to graceful aging. By the way, may I say something, folks? We need to age gracefully. I've had to do a lot of repenting the last 3 years because I was not a very graceful person. I've had to do a lot of repenting. I preached real loud and I preached real hard, but I may have even spoke the truth, but I didn't speak it in love. Pacific Baptist Church, as you grow old, age gracefully. Amen? Amen. It goes on to say it opens new doors and lights the way to the future. That's a pretty powerful statement. My encouragement, my challenge for us tonight is don't let the dream die.
Right. Amen.
Let God continue to do what God wants to do. By the way, we only want what God wants. You understand that? But God desires for the world to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. A.W. Tozer said, Christians don't lie, we just sing lies in church. That's special tonight that we sang. Let's not let that be a lie. Let's let that be our heart. In about 5 minutes, it's business meeting time. In about 5 minutes, all of us are going to be able to have the opportunity to say, not yes, just specifically to Pastor's vision and Pastor's dream, but God's vision and God's dream, which he gave to Pastor many years ago. What is a missions conference about? A missions conference is simply a reminder, a recharge, to rekindle the fires, get us to pray. Can I get you to say pray? If we would pray as much for the harvest, go ahead, look over here, folks. You'll be able, we'll have a word of prayer for her. if we would pray to the Lord of the harvest, like we prayed the last 10 days for our pastor, it would make a difference. We need to pray. We need to pray. But a missions conference is also not only about praying and business meeting time in just about 3 minutes or so. We're going to say yes or no to the destiny of lost souls or without Christ. We're going to say yes or no with our pocketbook by commitment to give. A missions conference is about giving. By the way, I thank you for giving because I could not be in the field if you did not give. I could not be on the field if you did not pray. Carol, thank you for being probably my greatest prayer warrior. I appreciate that, and thank you for financially supporting me. I could not be on the field without you. Now, I'm trying to get her to come over there with us. Somebody say amen. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to get that whole row there. Brother Fisher won't be happy, but that's okay. He'll get over it. Amen? But by the way, this lady right here is from Iraq. She knows a missionary that I know in Laos. She said, "Do you know TJ Slayman?" I said, "Yeah, I know him. His volleyball team's in our league." But anyway, that's a small world. I said, "How do you know him?" But anyway, don't let the dream die.
Right.
Don't let the dream die. And it starts in just a few moments.
Amen.
They're going to pass out some cards, and Brother Meyer's going to come up. He's going to conduct a business meeting. And we're going to either say yes or no. Now, some of us, as far as the matter of giving, some of us have never given. You're a new Christian. This is sort of new to you. And that's understandable. You get to enter into a new thing tonight. You get to give. And every person who gets saved on these different teams that we're sending, different missionaries, we're some, everyone, that's a part of yours. That's a part of your reward. Not everybody here can go, and not everybody here will go, but you can go in the sense by your sending. See, there's some go and some send. And so tonight, we want to be committed to pray. We want to be committed to give. And then may I say this tonight, and I will turn it over to Brother Myers. Some of us need to be committed to go. We don't have time to go through all the stats, okay? We already did that last Sunday night, okay? I probably wasn't as graceful as I should have been last Sunday night. And I know there's needs here in America. There's needs all over. But it doesn't touch the hem of the garment. It doesn't touch the hem of the garment. We have to be willing to go, which means we have to be willing to say goodbye to family and friends. We have to be willing to say goodbye to the comforts of America. We have to be willing to say goodbye to everything we know and our future ambitions, our financial security, so that they can know. When I made the decision to go, a lot of people, well, you know, you're the vice president of the college, you're the administrator of the school, you're assistant pastor, you preach all the midweek services in Long Beach and Monterey Park, and you do this, and you do this, you do all that. Can I just tell you something? Everything just kept on clicking after I left. There was no need for me here. None. The truth of the matter is the college is better off without me. The school is better off without me. But can I tell you something? Where I am today, there is a great need.
Amen.
Some have to be willing to go. Don't let the dream die. The pastor's not able to be here tonight. Normally, pastor would close missions conference. And pastor would plead with you on behalf of the nations. Do your part. In Acts chapter 16, it said Paul, he saw the vision. That's good. Where there's no vision, the people perish. He, Pastor Joe Esposito, saw a vision many years ago, and it kept expanding, and it kept expanding. But he's don't make the difference. It's the we. So tonight, we have a business meeting. And we make a decision. Will we rally around the cause? And by the way, and let me just say this. It's not pastor's cause. It's his cause. You understand? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about pastor. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Can you hear the Macedonian man? Come help us. Can you hear the Cambodians? Come help us. Can you hear the Thai folk? Come help us. The Lao folk, come help us. The Chinese folk, the Burmese folk, Myanmar folk, the Vietnamese folk. Can you hear them tonight? Come help us. Let's stand. Let's pray.